ministering in a different church in a different denomination. That denomination had their youth camp in the summertime, and a number of different churches together, similar to what we do in the Alliance, where there's youth gatherings, where a number of churches come together and have like a youth camp. So they had their youth camp in the summertime. And as the camp was going on, there was one particular boy who had come, and he was new to the Christian faith. He was invited to come to church and was growing in his understanding and love for Jesus. And so he wanted to come to this youth camp. But his father, who wasn't a Christian, and this was all new to him as well, wasn't sure whether he should send his son to this camp. And so he asked the pastors at the time, could I come with my son to the camp? Because I'm not sure what all of this is about. And, you know, my son is just a teenager. And they're like, yeah, why don't you come, you know, and then you can see what everything's like. You can feel comfortable. And this family was from a certain country in Africa and spoke a certain dialect as well within where they were from. And so during the course of the camp that was going on, the father was just helping with physical activities and physical stuff, just helping clean up things, helping organize stuff, and just being there, just observing, and the son was enjoying himself. And in one particular service, as the father, he was all the way at the back because it was a youth camp and it was a youth service, so all the youth were there in the front, and you know, he was just there to support and help his son. And he was standing at the back. And as he stood there at the back, one of the pastors came up, and he was a white American pastor. He came up to the front, and he started to speak in tongues. And as he started to speak in tongues, he started to speak in the native dialect of that man from Africa. There was no way that this man was going to know, first of all, where this other man was from, or what even his language was in that very specific dialect, but he started to speak. That was a gift of the Holy Spirit. That was through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And as he started to speak and glorify God in that language, that man at the back realized that Jesus is the true and living God and that he is the way. That gift of tongues at that time for him through the empowerment of the Spirit was used to bring that man and his family to Jesus. And so as we continue on in our series here of Made for More, last week we looked at purpose, what's God's purpose for our lives, what has God called us to, what is the beautiful story arc of our lives that he is writing, what is he doing from Genesis to Revelation and our role within that greater purpose of God's kingdom of God. And in the next few weeks, we're going to look a little bit at ourselves and try to figure out how has God shaped me, formed me, crafted me. As we read that verse in Ephesians 2 last week, that we are God's masterpiece. How has God made us so that we can be used for his kingdom? And so today I want to speak a little bit about spiritual gifts. Now, this can be a whole series in and of itself, so I'm going to just talk very high level for some of these things because we could dig down into all of these and do a Sunday message on each one of the gifts here, and maybe we might in the future, but I'm just going to talk just generally about spiritual gifts and how God has gifted us. If we are a follower of Jesus, if we have committed our lives to him and said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Yes, I have dedicated my life to him. Then the Holy Spirit that fills us and empowers us also gifts us with spiritual gifts. On this Thanksgiving weekend, it's wonderful that we can reflect on all of God's goodness and kindness and reflect on the fact that God has gifted us with spiritual gifts. Now, you might ask the question, what is a spiritual gift? Good question. Here's the definition that I've put together for what a spiritual gift is. And it's a combination of a few definitions that I've read and seen. So this is a definition of spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a Holy Spirit-empowered ability used to edify the church, serve others, and reveal Jesus' love, power, and truth to the world. Now, this is different from natural abilities that we might have. We might have certain natural abilities, things that we're good at. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to look at natural abilities and how God leverages and uses the natural abilities and talents that he's given to us. So that's something separate and different. In a couple of weeks, we'll get to that and we'll talk about our natural abilities and how God has formed us with those. But this is spiritual gifting. This is something that is empowered by the Spirit. That's why the definition says here is a Holy Spirit empowered ability. This is something distinct and unique that the Holy Spirit who fills us will empower us to operate in that. That pastor that stood up and started to speak in tongues, that wasn't a natural ability that he had. He didn't even know what he was saying in that person's dialect. It was an empowerment of the Spirit. It was something that the Holy Spirit was doing in him and through him to bless the body of Christ and specifically that man and his family. It's used to edify the church. It's used to serve others. It's used to reveal Jesus' love, his power, and truth to the world. And in this example as well, you can see how Jesus' love and power and truth was revealed to that man who was standing all the way in the back, not knowing the things of Christ, not knowing the things of Jesus. Can you imagine how he was impacted that someone would speak his own language and tell him about the glory of God? Friends, God has gifted us. If you're a follower of Jesus, and you might be here and you're new to the Christian faith and you're just seeking and you're searching, I want you to understand this, that as followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit wants to empower us with gifts, and that's something that you can receive as well. If you make that decision to become a follower of Jesus, this is something good, something kind, something gracious, and something wonderful that Jesus gives to us through the Holy Spirit. Now, there's lots of different gifts that are here, and in the slide behind me, you can see a number of the different gifts. You can see they're found in what was read today. Ethan read to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's a bunch of gifts that are there. Romans chapter 12, there's also another listing of some gifts there. And Ephesians chapter 4, there's some other gifts that are listed there. So this is a combination of those gifts. There's 20 that I've listed here. Of different things that, again, these are not natural abilities, but these are Holy Spirit empowered abilities. Things that we would not naturally do in and of ourselves, but something that God fills and inspires us to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, if you're a follower of Jesus today, I want to encourage you to discover your spiritual gift. To use your spiritual gift. The Apostle Paul uses these words to Timothy. He says, fan into flame the spiritual gift that you have. Because a lot of times in our lives, A, we don't realize that we've been gifted spiritually, and B, we don't use the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. So let me go over a few points about spiritual gifts. Again, this is very high level, talking about spiritual gifts. At the end, I'm going to give you a link that you could do as a spiritual gift assessment to try to discover your spiritual gifts. I'll give you some caveats and some disclaimers for that as well near the end. But I want us to take some time, and take some time today, take some time this week, to dig into and understand your spiritual gift. Because, friends, you were made for more. You were made for more. You are made to be used by the Holy Spirit. You were made to be used by Jesus for the kingdom of God. And oftentimes we just go on living our lives, as I said last week, without purpose, without intentionality, without discovering what God wants to do in our lives for his kingdom purposes. And one aspect is the spiritual gifts that God wants to give to us. So the first thing is, spiritual gifts are given by God. They're not something like, okay, I saw the list on, Daniel, you know what? I like that one about leadership. Can I get that one? Right? Like, it doesn't work that way. You don't get to choose which one you want. You don't get to choose, I like this. I don't really like a lot, you know, that one. You know, that means I have to be on stage and I don't like that. So can I get the other one? It doesn't work that way. Spiritual gifts are given by God. And oftentimes the spiritual gift that God gives us is something that pushes us out of our comfort zone. Trust me, if you knew me as a teenager, you would have never thought Daniel would be up on a stage. but it's a spiritual gift. It's something that the Holy Spirit helps and empowers me to do, because in and of myself, I have no natural ability to do what I do for Jesus. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes he pushes us out of our comfort zone. So here's a few things about spiritual gifts given by God. Number one, they're not natural abilities. We might have natural abilities to do some things, but the gift that God gives to us is something unique and different. It's something that you'll see as you operate in them in your spiritual life to be able to say, wow, I didn't realize I could do that. Oh, this is not who I am naturally, but I see God empowering me to do something that my natural disposition doesn't actually speak to. And so to understand the distinction there, and again, in a couple of weeks, we'll look at natural abilities. And that's, again, it's a blessing from God. God bless us with natural ability. He gives us talents. And that's wonderful that he does that. And those are natural abilities. But something that's a spiritual gift is far beyond that. It's an empowerment. It's also not the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, I don't want us to get confused. In Galatians chapter 5, in verses 22 and 23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Those are all wonderful fruits of the Spirit that God wants to produce in us. And they are also produced by the Holy Spirit, filling us, changing us, transforming us. But they are not the gifts of the Spirit. And here's an important one. They are for each and every believer. If you're a believer in Jesus, you have one gift, at least one. Maybe you have more. And you might be wondering, well, Daniel, I don't even know the one that I have. Okay, we're going to get to that. Don't worry. But each and every person is gifted with at least one spiritual gift. And then it's incumbent on us to use that spiritual gift and not let it become dormant. And spiritual gifts are confirmed in community. You can't just decide and say, I have the spiritual gift of leadership. And everyone else around you is like, really? You do? What are you leading? What are you doing? Spiritual gifts are confirmed in community. At the end, I'm going to give you a link to do a spiritual gift assessment. I sent it out in our email bulletin on Saturday as well. If you don't receive our emails, subscribe so you can get some information like that. One person asked me, Daniel, is there a spiritual gift assessment that other people can do about me? And then take all of that information and combine it together. And I thought, that would be a great and wonderful idea. Just don't have something like that. But it would be wonderful because spiritual gifts are confirmed in community. As people see your spiritual gift, as they see you being led by the Spirit of God, operating in your gift, there is an affirmation and confirmation from your brothers and sisters around you in faith that will say, I see something special in you. I see something unique in you. I think you need to go deeper into that. I think you need to dig deeper into that. I think you need to open up your heart more into that because I see how God is using you in this way. And I want to encourage you, if you see someone operating in a spiritual gift, can you give them a word of encouragement to continue operating in that spiritual gift? It's so important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit. Spiritual gifts are given by God. And so all of the things that we do in operation by the Spirit is given by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth. By the Spirit of God. He empowers us. He empowers our tongue. He empowers our mind. He empowers our body and our hands to be able to operate in the way that he wants us to operate. 1 Peter says it this way. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. I gave you a whole list there. There's a great variety of spiritual gifts. God has given each of you a spiritual gift. Use them well to serve one another. Use them well to serve one another. The spiritual gifts are not for ourselves, right? Usually, you know, at Christmas time, when you get a gift from somebody, you receive a gift or you give a gift, the gift you receive is for yourself. The gift that you give to the other person, it's for that person. These gifts are not like that. The Holy Spirit doesn't give you a gift so you can say, wow, look at the gift that I have and it's for me. No. The gift that the Holy Spirit gives to you is not for you, it's for other people, to serve the church, to edify the church, to serve the world as well. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, use them well to serve one another. So my question to you as you're seated here today, as you're watching online right now, what is your gift? And are you using that to serve one another? Are you using that for the furtherance of the kingdom of God? In 1 Timothy, Paul, encouraging Timothy, says this: do not neglect the spiritual gift you've received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Friends, don't neglect the spiritual gift that you've been giving. And maybe you have for all these years. You might be saying, like, Daniel, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I haven't used any spiritual gifts. Well, friends, then you're neglecting the spiritual gift that God has given to you. And then it's incumbent on us to operate in that spiritual gift. Paul was telling Timothy, my son in the faith, don't neglect the spiritual gift that you have. Okay? Number two, spiritual gifts are other-focused, not self-focused. As I mentioned, when a gift is given to us naturally and normally, it's for us. The spiritual gifts that God gives, it's not for us. It's for others. It is not self-focused. It is other-focused. They are for the edification of the body of Christ. And unfortunately, if we don't use them because of fear, we're actually robbing the blessing from other people. So here's the thing. Because spiritual gifts are other-focused and not self-focused, when we don't take our role within the body of Christ, when we are not used and empowered by the Spirit for the way that He wants us to be used, it is not just us that's losing out. Did you know that? It's not just to say, well, I'm not operating my spiritual gift. No one's going to care. It's not going to bother anybody. It's just me. No. You're actually robbing the blessing from other people because the gift is not for you. If the gift was for you and you weren't going to use it, okay, you're the one losing out. But if the gift is to bless others and you're not using it, who's losing out? Others. Other people. The church is losing out. In that example that I gave you at the beginning, that pastor that came up, and if he was too scared and said, I don't want to operate in this gift of unknown tongues, I don't know if what I'm saying is true. If he was fearful to use it, it's not him that would have lost out. He could have not said anything and he would have gone on his day and no one would have been the wiser. But who would have lost out? That man at the back. That family would have lost out. Because maybe they would have not come to experience the love of Jesus through that empowerment of the Spirit. Friends, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not self-focused. They are other-focused. It is part of God's nature and character. It is part of who God is, that He is self-sacrificial. He lays down His life for others, as Jesus showed us. And so in operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it is not, here's the revelation, it is not about you. It is about the body of Christ. It is about the kingdom of God. It is about His purposes and His plans for what He wants to do. As I said last week, the grand story arc that He is writing from Genesis to Revelation, He has invited us to be part of that story. He has empowered us and filled us so that we can be part of that great story. And if we choose to say, well, I'm not going to operate in that, what God has given to me, well, guess what? God will find somebody else. And then you lose out because you're not participating in this wonderful story that Jesus is writing. You're not participating in using your gifts to edify and build up the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Right? The spiritual gift is not given to help us. The spiritual gift is given to help others. Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, so it is with you, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church, right? Try to excel in those that build up the church. God empowers us and fills us, and He wants to use us for His kingdom purposes. The question is, are we going to yield and surrender to that so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can be used by God for His kingdom purposes? In 2 Timothy, he says, this is why I remind you, Paul telling Timothy, to fan into flame the spiritual gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. That spiritual gift for Timothy was dormant. That spiritual gift for Timothy, he wasn't using it. And quite possibly he wasn't using it out of fear, because the next verse says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So there's a possibility, we don't know for sure, but maybe Timothy wasn't operating in the gifts of the Spirit because he was scared. I'm a young man. If I start operating in the Spirit, what are other people going to think about me? What are other people going to say about me? If I start yielding to the Spirit of God and operating in these gifts, people might doubt me. People might question me. Maybe there was some anxiety that Timothy had. Maybe there was some fear that Timothy had to operate in the gifts. Maybe you're in that situation as well. Maybe God has empowered you and gifted you in one way, but you are not operating in that gifting because you're scared, because you're timid, because you're fearful. Maybe it pushes you out of the comfort zone that you want to be in, and it pushes you out of a comfort zone into a place that you don't want to be. And because of that, you're scared about it. I don't want to operate in this way because I've never done that before. Daniel, don't ask me to do this thing because, you know, I'm quite content where I am. I'm good. But again, who's losing out? Not you, but the body of Christ. If we are not operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's a detriment to the whole body of Christ. The gifts are given to bless and build up the body of Christ. So if we're fearful and we're not operating in those gifts that God has given to us, if we doubt and we think, well, is this really the Spirit of God, or someone's going to come and tell me something else, or everyone's going to doubt me, or everyone's going to look down on me, right? There's another verse here that Paul writes about as he writes to Timothy. He says, don't let anyone despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in purity and in love and faith and holiness and all of these things. So I want to encourage you, whether you're young or old, if you are a follower of Jesus, he has empowered you and gifted you. Use those spiritual gifts for the edification of the body of Christ, for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, for the purposes and plans that God has for you and for his kingdom at large. Number three, spiritual gifts reveal Jesus' love, power, and truth. It's important to understand that as we operate in these spiritual gifts, it is to reveal Jesus to the world. It is to reveal Jesus to others. As we operate in these spiritual gifts, whether it is giving and generosity or administration or shepherding or prophecy or words of wisdom and knowledge, whatever, if it's miracles and healings or apostleship or teaching or whatever the gift that God has given to you, whatever that might be, it is actually to reveal Jesus to others. It is to reveal Jesus to the body of Christ. It is to reveal Jesus to the outside world as well. Before Jesus left, he told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, it says, "But you will receive power," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus told the disciples, the Holy Spirit, he said, before you do anything, wait in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit is going to come down upon you. And the Holy Spirit came down upon them on the day of Pentecost. 10 days after Jesus' resurrection, the Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles and others. And they became different people. They were empowered by the Spirit. The things that the apostles started to do after the day of Pentecost were not their natural abilities. The things that they started to do was not part of their own personality. Because quite frankly, what happened after the death of Jesus, the apostles were scattered, they were scared, they were fearful. They didn't know whether the Roman authorities were going to come after them and if they would eventually be killed because they were followers of Jesus. They didn't know what to do. All their plans and hopes of Jesus being the Messiah, Jesus being the King of Israel, Jesus establishing the kingdom of Israel forever and ever, all of that crumbled down to nothing when Jesus died. But then when Jesus rose again, and the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, something happened to them. Even the religious people of the day, they took note. They said they took note of these people, that they were just mere fishermen. And they were doing these amazing, powerful miracles. They were speaking with authority because the Spirit of God had empowered them. It was a spiritual gift to teach. It was a spiritual gift to work miracles. It was a spiritual gift to work healings. It was a spiritual gift with words of knowledge and words of wisdom to guide the early church to where it was. When there was contentions, when there was divisions, even in the early church, as in any church, there was words of wisdom and knowledge that was used. The gifting of the Holy Spirit, unnatural to those weak fishermen, but very natural and normal to the Holy Spirit, because he empowers us to live and do what he's called us to do. And so, friends, as we are empowered by the Spirit, we reveal Jesus' love to others. We reveal Jesus' truth to others. We reveal Jesus' grace to others. But it's important that as we operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, spiritual gifts operate in a humble posture. This is really important. Because the spiritual gifts are not for us or our own benefit. It's for the benefit of the body of Christ. So we need to operate in that in a humble posture. And this is why it's important for us to walk with humility, one with another and with the Lord. Here's a few things about walking in a humble posture. Number one, don't compare yourself with others, okay? We all have a role in the body of Christ. You can't compare yourself and be like, oh, I wish I had that gift that that person has. They use it so well. How, you know, like we don't compare ourselves. The Bible says we can covet and want spiritual gifts, but we can't compare ourselves with the other person, right? Because comparison leads us to be able to say, oh, well, I wish I was that, or I wish I was like that. No, you have your role within the body of Christ. I have my role within the body of Christ. Someone else has another role within the body of Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, after talking about the spiritual gifts, we read that passage today, but right after that passage, he goes on to talk about the body of Christ and how we all have a role within the body of Christ. One is the eye, the other is the hand, another is the foot. If the whole body were an eye, then where was the hearing? We all have our different roles within the body of Christ, and we can't compare ourselves with one another, right? The foot can't say, I want to be the hand. The hand gets to do everything. All I get is dirt and, you know, I'm always at the bottom and I'm always covered up with shoes and nobody sees me. Nobody can see what I do. And the hand gets to do all the great things. You know, everyone sees the hand and he gets all the glory. But me, you know, I'm just stuck in the shoe the whole time. Right? It's not how it works in the body of Christ. We can't compare ourselves with one another. I want to encourage you to exercise spiritual disciplines. Although God has gifted us with spiritual gifting, he also wants us to operate in a place of maturity. And so it's important for us, as we're using those spiritual gifts so that we maintain a humble posture in using them, is that we exercise spiritual disciplines. Exercise spiritual disciplines in reading the Word of God, spending time in prayer, exercising in the various spiritual disciplines, whether it's fasting or generosity or study or all the different things that God helps us to be able to walk with him humbly. Be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can produce the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is different from the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but by producing the fruit of the Spirit, then we can operate more freely in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As we yield to the Lord and as the Holy Spirit comes and fills us and empowers us and also changes us and transforms us so that he changes us from being an angry person to be a loving person, from an impatient person to a patient person. As he transforms us and as he changes us, it becomes easier to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit because we are becoming more like Jesus. And fan into flame that gift he's given to you, right? That phrase that's used there, fan into flame. If you have a fireplace in front of you and you have a little log and there's just some embers that are there, it's not really a big fire, what do? You fan it a little bit so that the fire can get bigger and bigger. You fan it a little bit so that the flame becomes bigger and bigger. It's important for us, as we discover what our spiritual gifts are, use those spiritual gifts, let those spiritual gifts grow. Let those spiritual gifts increase. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Friends, we're all part of the body of Christ. We're all placed there. Don't compare yourself with other people, right? Don't compare yourself and say, oh, I wish I could do that. Sometimes I do that. I see some of our piano players here. I'm like, man, I wish I could play the piano like they can play the piano. Now I can only live vicariously through my son, Joel. I want, you know, hopefully he can learn to play the piano and he likes music and he likes instruments and I hope he can play the piano so wonderfully and beautifully in the future. But we can't compare ourselves. We all have our gift, we all have our place, and we all work together. Have you ever had your tooth taken out, like a wisdom tooth or a molar or something taken out? What happens? Do you take that tooth out and then you just go on your merry way and live your regular life? No. You're probably out for a few days, right? That tooth that nobody sees, that's in there doing its job faithfully, and it comes out, and then what happens? You're out for the count. I need a vacation for a week. I need a rest. You need to ice it. I need to take care. The whole body is rallying around that one place in your mouth that was hurting because your tooth is taken out. Friends, that's the way the body of Christ works. We all have our place. And when one is not in place, the rest of the body suffers. When we don't operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's given to us, which is for the edification of others, the body suffers. No, others might not know it, but the body suffers. The body is not edified. The body is not blessed. The body is not able to go forward. So friends, remember, we are all part of the body of Christ. In chapter 12, it says, you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. See, as the Holy Spirit empowers us and we take a humble posture, this verse here in chapter 12, the first part of the chapter is spiritual gifts. The next part of the chapter is how we are all part of the body of Christ. We all have different roles. And the last verse is this, verse 31. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Then it gets to 1 Corinthians 13, which as a church we memorized a couple of years ago. And it speaks about the way of love. See, friends, all of what God does in empowering us and using us is to further his way of love. He wants to display his love to others. So the spiritual gifts are not so that one person can say, oh, look at the gift that I have. Look at how God is using me. Look at all the wonderful things that I'm able to do for the kingdom of God. No, it's not about that. The better way is love. And so as we take a humble posture and walk with Jesus, right, then we humble ourselves so that we can show others the way of love. Do you know what I hear oftentimes? I might ask somebody for this thing or that thing. Hey, do you think God might be leading you in this way? Oh, no, Daniel, I can't. I'm not ready for that. Do you know what the corollary of that is? That means that if you say, okay, I'm not ready for that, then what that actually means is when I'm ready, I don't need the Holy Spirit because then I'll be ready to do it myself, right? When we say, oh, I'm not ready for that, give me some time, I'm not ready for that. It's what we're actually saying is, when I feel like I have the strength and ability to do it myself, then I'll go and do it. Because then when you're in the place to actually do it, then you're saying, okay, this is what I can do. It actually robs us from depending on the Holy Spirit. It robs us from allowing us to just lean completely on the Holy Spirit. Instead of acknowledging and saying, what I do is not through my own strength, through my own ability, through my own wisdom. No, I depend completely and totally on the power of the Holy Spirit. What I do is not through what I can do. Is what I do is what through the Holy Spirit can empower me to do. And so that's why we need that humble posture. That's why we need to be able to walk in the way of love, right? As we receive the love of God and display the love of God, we walk with a humble posture. 1 Timothy 4, Paul telling Timothy, instead, train yourself to be godly. This is talking about spiritual disciplines. Train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So friends, if we want to operate in the Holy Spirit, in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's given to us, we train ourselves with spiritual disciplines. So whatever gift that the Lord might have given to you, and again, he might give us one, he might give us two, he might give us five, whatever it might be. We have to discern what those gifts are. The important thing is to operate in those gifts, but we train ourselves with spiritual disciplines and spiritual exercises so that we can operate in those gifts. So we train ourselves to godliness. We train ourselves with prayer. We train ourselves with Bible reading. We train ourselves with study of the scripture. We train ourselves in fasting. We train ourselves in so many different spiritual disciplines. We train ourselves through community and walking with one another in small groups. We train ourselves through relationships with one another. All of these things are helpful as we train ourselves towards godliness so that God can use us with the spiritual gifting that he's given to us. So here's the question. What do we do? Where do we go from here? It's simple. Follow the example of Jesus. So I'll give you two things, okay, to follow in following the example of Jesus. Number one, he surrendered to the Father. And number two, he was filled with the Spirit. So if you're here today and you're in a category of, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are, Daniel, or I know what my spiritual gifts are, and I don't really like it. I'm a little bit scared. I'm a little bit afraid. I'm a little bit timid. If I start using my spiritual gift, what is God going to ask me to do? I don't want to do that. If you're in one of those categories, can I encourage you to do these two things? Number one, surrender to the Father. And number two, be filled with the Spirit. That's what Jesus did. He surrendered to the Father, and he was filled with the Spirit. God wants us to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Friends, we were made for more. Not to live an aimless life, not to live a life without purpose, without intentionality. We were meant to live a life with purpose, intentionality, as we talked about last week. We were meant for God's kingdom purposes. We were meant to live that abundant life that Jesus has come to give. The devil is going to try to distract us. The devil is going to try to tear us down. He's going to try to do all sorts of things so that we don't enjoy that abundant life that he's called us to live. And one aspect of that is using the gifting that he's given to us. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this, though he, Jesus, was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. This is the way to follow Jesus. Jesus surrendered to the Father. He did not think equality with God was something to cling to. He said, I'm willing to give that up. See, sometimes we read some of the things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some of the amazing things that Jesus did, and we look at that and say, okay, he did that because he was God. No, Jesus was divinely God and human at the same time. It's this amazing aspect of Jesus incarnate. But as it says here in Philippians, he laid down his divine privileges. He gave up his divine privileges. So how did he do all the things that he did? He did them through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The same way he wants to work in us. So Jesus surrendered to the Father, and he said, Father, if this is your will, you want me to come down to your creation, down here to earth, to be born as a human being and to live a regular life here and to be empowered by your Spirit to do the works that you've called me to do. Remember that verse we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 last week, that we are his masterpiece created for the good works that God has purposed for us to do even before he created the world. Friends, you and I have good works to do that God wants us to do. And so Jesus surrendered to the Father. He laid down his divine privileges, as it says here, so that he can be empowered by the Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus laid down his divine privileges and surrendered to the Father. And then the Holy Spirit came upon him, and the Holy Spirit filled him, and the Holy Spirit empowered him. And all the good that Jesus did was through the empowerment of the Spirit. And friends, the invitation is for us as well. The Holy Spirit wants to come and fill us and empower us so that we can be used by the Lord for his kingdom purposes, that we can take the gifting that he's given to us through the power of the Holy Spirit and operate in the ways that God wants us to operate. Friends, can we yield to the Spirit of God and do that? I have a spiritual gift assessment. You can go to uachome.org/gifts. You can scan that QR code. I'm going to put that up again at the end of the service for you to take some time to do that. When you scan that or go to that link, it'll take you to a page that you have to put in your email address. You put in your email address, you'll get an email back from the spiritual gift assessment. And then you can fill out your form. Sometimes the email goes to spam, so just check your spam folder if you don't get the email back. And then you can fill that out. And I want to give you some caveats about that. Again, because you're assessing it yourself, right? Sometimes, you know, things might change over time. So remember that spiritual gifting is affirmed in community. So do you know what I would do with that? Fill that out, get your results back, and then take that to your small group. If you're a part of a small group, I want to encourage all the small group leaders, encourage your group members to take the spiritual gift assessment. Go back to your small group and say, or maybe to a close-knit community of people that know you really well, maybe to your own family and say, hey, these are the results I got. Do you affirm this? Is this what you see in me as well? Because spiritual gifts are affirmed in community. They're confirmed in community, right? And so we want to be able to see, how is God actually calling me? What are the gifts that God has given to me? And am I using that for the blessing of the body of Christ? Friends, don't hoard it to yourself, because it's not for you, right? Don't hoard it to yourself, because it's not for you, right? It's like, you know, if you saw a good deal or a good sale, what do you do with that? You get the item yourself, and then what do? You tell all your friends about it, right? And say, hey, guess what? You know, there's a buy one, get one free hamburger deal going on. You should take advantage of that. Chick-fil-A was giving out free chicken burgers this past week. Go and take advantage of that. If there's something good that you see, you share it with others. Friends, the gift that God has given to you, use that for the kingdom of God. Use that for the body of Christ. Don't rob your brothers and sisters from the blessing that they might have, the blessing that they might experience, what, because of you being fearful or timid. But as you step out in faith, and as you boldly operate in the gifts that he has given to you, you become a blessing to others. You become part of that body of Christ that is working together for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. I'll invite the worship team to come up, and I just want to tell you a story as I close, and it's a story of a man named R.G. Late Tourneau. He was actually a Christian and Missionary Alliance guy in the United States. He was part of the Alliance denomination. He was a Christian businessman whom God had gifted and empowered. His sister was a missionary in China, and he started off his journey. He gave his heart to the Lord when he was 16 or so, and started off his journey, but he was very just lukewarm in his faith, lukewarm in his walk with the Lord. And there came a time when he came back to the Lord and yielded to the Spirit and was filled with the Spirit. And then he started to ask questions about, he was considering, should I go into ministry? What should I do? It's around this time that he got married. And his pastor told him this. His pastor told him, God needs Christian businessmen too. And as your pastor, can I say that as well? God needs Christian businessmen as well and businesswomen. God needs you where you are employed to be the light of Jesus. God wants to use your natural abilities and your spiritual abilities for his kingdom. And so he dedicated his life towards that. He became a prolific inventor. He has about 299 patents. He started to be invent technology that would move earth like dirt. Think bulldozers, diggers, all of those sort of things. He invented so many patents towards that. His company supplied nearly 75% of the earth-moving equipment to the Allied forces in World War II. He played such a significant role. He was a leader in the Christian and Missionary Alliance in the United States. He was the president of the Christian Businessmen's Committee, and he was actually the president of Gideon's International, if you're familiar with the Gideon's organization that distributes Bibles. He lived by the verse Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. And he did this. He had a gift of generosity. It's a lot of these gifts that we talk about here, there's a natural inclination for people to have that, and there could be just a natural thing for us to be generous and to give towards others. And there's something else called the gift of giving, the spiritual gift of giving. He had that. He gave away 90% of his income. He wanted to live off the 10. Instead of giving the 10 to God and living off the 90, he said, I'm going to give God the 90 and I'll live off the 10. So personally and for his company, 90% of the profits went to kingdom work. And he kept the 10. He said this, I shovel out the money and God shovels it back in, but God has a bigger shovel. You know, this man, he had the gift of knowledge. He was able to invent all of these patents. He had the gift of generosity. He had the gift of leadership as well. He was using his spiritual gifts, maybe in realms that we might not think. We might think spiritual gifts are just, you know, within the church. No, spiritual gifts are within the church, but also outside the church as well. There is no sacred secular divide. There is no things to say, okay, well, in the church, it's sacred, and out in the world, it's secular, so I can just use my spiritual gifts in the church. No, God has empowered you and placed you in a particular position. He has made you for more, and he wants to use you for his purpose and glory and for his kingdom purposes and use you where you are. And so God had gifted him with such amazing knowledge to create all of these things that he used for kingdom purposes. You can Google him later and read up all about what he did for God's kingdom. He didn't like public speaking, but somehow God empowered him and he ended up speaking all over the world for the kingdom of God. Friends, can you stand right now? And can we just invite the Holy Spirit to come? And maybe even just with our hands in an open posture, just to say, Spirit, come and fill me. Spirit, rest on me. Spirit, rest on us as a church. Spirit, empower me for what you have called me to do. Holy Spirit, fan into flame the gift that you've given to me that's laid dormant now for many years. Holy Spirit, come and change me. Come and use me for your kingdom purposes. Holy Spirit, I know that I was made for more, not just to live this current life that I'm living, but you have called me for more. You have called me for your purpose. You've called me for your kingdom. You've called me for your glory. You've called me to use the gifts you've given to me. Oh, Holy Spirit, I follow the steps of Jesus, and first I surrender to the Father, and I say, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, whether that pushes me out of my comfort zones, whether that pushes me out of the ways and things that make me comfortable, Lord, I want your will to be done. And oh, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and use me. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and empower me.